De jin je ba da jom ba yan da ba zo ve zan je re ba da ja zo den ba de jing den je ba je bo de ve ka lo jo wa la na la da me nam je den ba zan je chum den de pe ja wa sha ja tu ba la cha ze Chö do ya zo che wo dun ba chom den de de shin she wa ta chom ba yan Zo be zan je re wa da ya zo den ba te wa ra she wa jik den ken ba ke bu ndu Ka lo gyur wa la na me ba la da me nam je dun ba san je chom de Pe ja wa ja ja du ba la ja ze lo ja do ja su che wo tun ba jom den de de je ta jom ba yam da ba zo be zan je she ba da ja su den ba te wa ra she ba je de ke wo du be ka lo gyur wa la na me ba la da me nam je tun ba san je jom de Pe ja wa ja ja du ba la ja Chö do yav zo che oi Ta gombo je zun jambe ya la cha tse lo Kangi lo zhu tev nye ten de nye da nam da rab ze ve Che nye dun gwe che she se che nye ge tu ga le bo man ze Kanda sebe sura mare mendon donye gezebe Chozo gula poche taze yala choche yanden son Chudara che cho nyomo nyelo lege cha cho che zeche Mare mendon donye nyogo che nye chunze reche nam Töne daje saju dazu yendu lunzo yazi tuve gu Chuja juda juni kende talume Jambi yalandu omu arabazanadi Omu arabazanadi Omu arabazanadi Omo arabaza na di 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 Pobe na wa tse do se oe
Short mandala of ting Sashi pe ki
Jushin me do tama rira le she nyende kenpa di Sanje shin la me de bewa Jogu namda shin la chubara sho e Jizu la me gamba ke namangi Chugu kala kinze tinte ne Chidara tsambi duja zima Sabje chenge chaba abdo se Yedam guru rana menda la ganaya daya eme Sange juda zoye jona la janju padu dhani jav zoche Tagi jenye jibe zonama je dola pe Sange dubara cho e Sange juda zoye jonama la janju padu dhani jav zoche Tagi chushe jibe zonama je Dola benje sanje dobara shoye sanje chodan soje Janju bado dane javzo che tagi chushi jebe sonamay Dola benje sanje dobara shoye Sadan lame medami anje ombodan gajen la so che che jola jawa che banama sanje sumba rabdo che jen de ve gyu gyu ba de da che je tam be chun yin chen en de je je namo la ye ja dan lu dan ne jin je ju gun da da me ye ja nam da an zhong wa kun je chang nan che zang ba tam che ke lu ta ge che den dos Good morning. And you are the diehards. So thank you very much for being really persistent. And as I always say, to commit time on Sunday is not easy. But you have been doing this for the past, I think it's for almost 1 year now. That's very good, that's very good. And it is good that we are doing something. We are committing some time on Dharma practices. That's very important. Yeah, so I was saying that it is really important and meaningful to commit some time on Dharma things, because we live in a very, very busy world. Most people have no time. Still.
It went off and now it goes off.
What's happening?
I don't know, I was having problems this morning.
Oh, so it's the sound system problem, is it?
Call Ken.
It's good now. Don't worry.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So we know that in this world, how many people? 7 billion people. They say 7 billion people. And imagine how many at this time are doing practice, are spending time on Dharma things. Very few. Very few. So it is very good, because this is the thing that will really get us somewhere, something different from all our lives. In the past life, we mentioned earlier, we discussed earlier that we have taken countless lives. And we have done our best to find a way out, but somehow we were kind of misguided, or we misunderstood the way, the means to get out of this trap. But this lifetime, we can say that we actually found the right way, right means. So this is the time where we should feel fortunate and grab on this opportunity and try our best and make this life different from the past lives. And then, of course, if we do that, not only we will secure a good future, but in this very lifetime, we will be much happier. So I really appreciate your consistency and really coming for classes. That encourages me. I have mentioned before, as I think I mentioned in the beginning, that even if I'm able to encourage or help one person, that is good enough. I don't expect all 20 people to, you know, change and, you know, have a very positive effect. As long as my doing this can benefit one person, that is good. But here we have more than one. You have all shown consistency and trying your best. So that's like a reward to me. And that really pushes me to do more. And I'm always thinking, well, how can I do better? But sometimes you have to forgive me that I lack skills and I lack in many things. But I try my best. I just want you to know that, you know. So, You want to share anything? You have anything to share? Maybe we have been going through this 6 preparatory practices and maybe you didn't find any opportunity. That's okay.
No, I followed the last week's suggestion to do a mala for each of the 3 jewels.
Mm.
And, well, actually with the guru as well. And when it came to the guru, at some point, I kind of had a feeling about Geshe Atten.
Mm-hmm.
And about the empowerment for Tara.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had lapsed in that. And so I picked it up again.
And
it does take time, but with practice and familiarity again, it can go faster and I can do it in the morning. But what I'm finding is that some of these things, like even in the shower, I had the purification, you know, mantra, you know, coming in. It kind of stays with me, you know, these phrases. And you know, it's also renewing the bodhisattva vows. And one phrase that stayed with me, it really inspired me, is to view all sentient beings as my guests.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, you know, it's like.
Yes, yes.
That's, you know, we all have had guests in our homes and you know how we are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so it stays with me. I just hope that I have the courage and the discipline to keep doing it, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, okay, that's good. So that also, we can take it as a blessing from this practice. Because you engage in this practice, you remember your guru, and then you also remember about that Tara's empowerment. That reminded you to renew or start your practice again. So these are, we can take it as blessings. So there's no such thing as, you know, oh, this is a blessing and some light, you know, hits you. These are blessings. So you can see the benefit, the merit in doing these practices. And that, I like that weaving all sentient beings as your guest. This is very powerful analogy. When we have a guest, how obnoxious that person is, as long as the person is your guest, you will tolerate, you will do your best, you will accommodate, you will treat them the best you can, even though you know you don't really approve it, you don't really like the person. Because he is a guest, you will do that. So if we are able to have that kind of attitude to all sentient beings, how wonderful. I think that's really good, very powerful. Thank you. Yes, please.
Just getting on that, that obnoxious guest can also teach you patience.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
But I have a therapist that's teaching me a breath work on my back. And I was talking to Carolyn and Diana about it, and I have to do it 4 times a day at least. But when I sat down and did my meditation, I was able to use that breath work that I'm being trained on for my meditation, and it made me focus so much more. And I realized the practice of breath work, how important that is. And I've done the breath work in the past, you know, you breathe, but I don't think I've ever done it with the intent that I have done it this week with. The results have been much more, less monkey mind and more concentration when I'm meditating.
Okay, thank you. That's very good. That's very encouraging. Yes, please.
A friend of mine posted some information on Facebook about an animal shelter follows, happens to be in Europe. And this owner of the shelter was caring for 2 elderly dogs, dying. And she was talking about, you know, what she was going through and sort of what she was doing with them and helping them and staying by them and all that and comforting them and so on. And I thought that's really good. But then part of the reason I think she shared it, my friend shared it, was we read down the comments.
Mm.
It was shocking how many people criticized this woman and berated her for doing this. Wasting your time, these, you know, you're actually hurting the animals more. Just, you know, just put them out of their misery and you know, get a life, you know, sort of thing. It was very disturbing. It was very disturbing, and I had to post, you know, in effect, say, is this how you will treat your elderly mother when she gets, you know, goes and you say, oh, let's, you know, it's inconvenient. Let's, she won't know. She's, you know, lost her mind. It's like, it doesn't matter. It's a being. And I think to myself, that's how, it was a good reminder to say, you know, as our dog gets older, and I imagine how we would go through that. And I'd like that to be, you know, that kind of commitment to another being. And I say, it's a contract. You take on a pet. It's like having a marriage or having a child. You've contracted with another being for care and so on. So you just don't walk away from them when it's inconvenient. But the number of people who seem to have that attitude was very disturbing to me.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's true. So, of course, this is not to suggest that we should feel proud, but it is from all this we can feel fortunate, you know, that, oh, I have met Dharma and I have this, what do you call this, the wisdom to discern, you know. So there are many. I mean, yesterday I was yesterday I was talking with my relatives. They were telling me that, oh, they have a neighbor there, and they have this bird there. In order to feed the bird, they send their daughter to hunt for these earthworms. So we have a saying in Tibetan, "Nyase ne kila chibatang." That means you kill the fish to feed a dog. So this is actually you have no understanding of karma. You are taking life in terms of earthworm. How many the lives of how many earthworms you are taking just to feed a bird. So all this, yeah, when you have understanding of Dharma, so you know what to do. And also there's this question has been about this euthanasia, the mercy killing, you know. The one reason we are hesitant to do so is because we don't know where this person or animal is going to end up after this life. We may think that, you know, oh, we are freeing this person from this suffering, but we may be sending away that being to a much more, what do you call, more intense suffering. So we don't know that. If that being is going to be born in hell realm, at least being here and hearing some prayers and all that, you can still benefit. So there is this reservation about, you know, oh, we should just go and, you know, end the life. So anyway, just to continue with what I said before, so it is very good that, you know, we are spending time, but to make it more worthwhile, it is good to always have always set a good motivation. The best motivation is to receive these teachings, listen to these teachings, so that you can accumulate merit in order to achieve enlightenment for the sake of sentient beings. So that's why before every teaching we recite this, Sanje Chodo Soge Cho Namla. This is a refuge and bodhicitta. So you can see, you can tell that one line says that the merits I gain from listening to the teaching. So when I say, I will say that merits gain from giving the teaching, giving Dharma. So when we do this, recite these prayers, try to have some emotion inside, some feeling inside, not just parroting the words, but have some kind of a feeling inside, then yeah, it will be very good. Whatever time we spend well. And then we always end up with dedication. So that merit, that time, 2 hours of time we spend here, becomes a perfect Dharma practice first of all, it has the motivation, perfect motivation, and then it ends with a dedication, proper dedication. So it's very good if we are able to do that way. So let's now dive into the topic. We have already talked about where are we now? Do you remember? We have covered the first one. We have also talked about the second, obtaining offerings without deceit and arranging them beautifully. And then last week we talked about adopting the seven featured sitting position, taking refuge. And I think today we are at this number fourth, which is visualizing the merit field. So let me get to that. So we discuss about doing the refuge. So when we do refuge, we also have to visualize the refuge field. So in Lamrim tradition, when we do these practices, so there are two approaches. So one approach is that you can just maintain this refuge field. There is no separate field refuge. There's no separate merit field than the refuge field. So that's one approach. Another approach is at the refuge field, you have this. No, when you do when you take refuge, there is refuge field. And then when it comes to the merit, the cultivating merit, and when you offer these seven limb prayers, you generate another separate field, which we call merit field. The first one is called the refuge field, merit field. So we will talk about that. Okay, I wanted to remember we talked about this, that nine rounds.
Yeah.
Oops, what happened? So we talked about the nine rounds of breathing. So let's watch this clip. Can you raise the volume?
Just fine. Still a fine. Then, those people who are on chair, and all right, no problem. All right, no problem. That's enough. The Naropa's six yoga practice, you see, these practices are quite clear, quite clearly mentioned. That's enough.
Hold your hand and form a fist with your thumb inside.
You see, thumb. This is
that
you
see, the ring finger at the base of the ring finger. Press your thumb on the base of the ring finger.
Now those good.
And then hold, make a fist.
While I do, you see, just as a copy. This is a muscle. This hand.
First to the right, left. First to the left.
Here.
Armpit.
Mm. the first one. Now second, on this side, or right hand and left hand. Now both, now hands like this. Now here, one difference is when
breathing
in the lung, in like this. It's out like that. Now I begin three times. So this practice, I think you can do, particularly when your mind a little bit sort of disturbed or has the turbulence, right? Agitated. Then completely forget about the causes and just as a concentrated breathing and do that. That could be something like tranquilizer. The disturbed mind somehow
So this is more of a tantric practice. So the breathing that we normally do is more of a sutra practice. This is a tantric practice. So if you are interested in doing this, you can add on the visualization. So when you do this 9 rounds of breathing, what you can do is you can visualize these 3 channels, the wind channel, the central channel, and then the 2 parallel, the channels. So when you first breathe in from your right nostril, or right nostril, you can imagine, first, of course, we have this channel is going, starting from we call this secret area. From there goes up to the nose, actually. I think it comes out of the nose. And even though there are these chakras, but at this time, no need to visualize these chakras. Just visualize the channel itself, wind channel. So when you breathe in from your right, you visualize that the wind or the breath traveling from the right channel. Then when you breathe out, it is going out from the left. So you just follow. When you're breathing from the right, it's the right channel. Breathing out from left, it goes out from the left channel. And then likewise, if you breathe from the left, you imagine the wind traveling or wind going up from this channel. And then when it comes to breathing from both, so at that time, you visualize you are breathing in. All that wind goes, air goes into your central channel and then comes out from the 2 side ones. So that's, you can add in. That's if you are interested. So now, today we are going to talk about the merit field. So we have already, so this is like the essence of the practice. This is the main practice. Even though this is the preliminary practices and what we call the preparatory practices, there are six types of preparatory practices. But I think that this is the essence of that. this is where we really focus on purification and accumulating merit. So in order to do that, we need to generate the merit field. So, of course, I have explained the benefits of doing all this, so I won't go into detail, but it is, if I am to sum up all that, it is like, until now, you are riding on a block cart, which is very slow, and you know, it takes a long time to get to your destination. And then when you do these practices, it's like suddenly, you are getting a Ferrari. It's so fast. So that's why, you see, it's like you are now being able to afford to buy a Ferrari. And then your journey will be much faster and more efficient, less time consuming. So that's the whole point here. So now how do we do that? So there are different systems. I think we will stick to the simple one. So there's one according to Lama Chöpa's merit field. So that is very elaborate. But if you follow strictly Lamrim Chemo, Lama Tsongkhapa's Lamrim Chemo, it is much simpler. So we will follow that. If you are interested here, I think this in APMT, there's Lama Chöpa text. In there you will find this. And it is listed and numbered, so it is very easy. So I won't go into that. So what I am suggesting is we do this. In Lama Chöpa, there are different lamas. We have the practice lineage, we have practice lineage, and then also another, there are five different lineages of lama. We won't try to do that because it is too complicated. We will follow Lamrim Chemo, where it suggested that only visualize two lineages. One is the method lineage, one is the wisdom lineage. So only these two lineage lamas. So of course the method lineage is headed by Maitreya and Asanga, and then all that lineage. And the wisdom lineage is headed by Manjushri, and then Nagarjuna, Aryadeva, and then the rest follow. So we just need to imagine two. So how are we going to generate this? So first visualize Buddha. Of course, this is said that you visualize the throne, which is supported by eight lions, a very spacious throne. And then in the center, you have the Shakyamuni Buddha. But of course, this is in reality, in nature, is your root guru. But in the aspect or in the form of Shakyamuni Buddha. Then at Buddha's right, so yours left, at Buddha's right, you first visualize. So from Buddha's heart, you have this cloud, and on that cloud, so in the center, you have Maitreya Buddha, surrounded by Asanga, and then the rest of the Lama. That's on the Buddha's right side. On the Buddha's left side, we have the wisdom lineage Lamas. So, of course, the main is at the center, we have Manjushri, surrounded by Nagarjuna and the rest of the Lama. So that's the two. And then in front of Buddha, you can visualize your guru, what we call the direct guru and indirect, is it? Where you receive teachings directly. Let's put it, your root guru and your other gurus. So in my case, let's say I just visualize this. Of course, this is just a symbol. So you can do that. So whoever lamas you have received teachings, you can visualize that in front of Buddha. And then surrounded by, you can just do, because if we are yeah, let's not say that. So then surrounded by the deities, the highest yoga tantra deities and all that. And then next round, next tier is surrounded by bodhisattvas. And then the another layer, or another round circle of the what do you call it, the arhats, and what you call that? Source, how's that? You know, we have three types. Bodhisattva, Shivaka, and then Shivaka, there's another one. Pratigya Buddha, surrounded by those. And then at the last row, there are the protectors. So that you can visualize. That's easy to do that. So mainly, main point is that the center figure, which is in the form of Buddha, you must imagine that as your root guru, inseparable. So that is the guru yoga practice. So if you are not able to do that, then it may not be that powerful. So even though it appears in Buddha's form, but in reality, your own root guru. So that's your merit field. So you generate that before you do any of these, the following seven limbs prayer. So you visualize this in front, up somewhere, what do you call it? That directly around this your what do you call it? Forehead, in front of your forehead, and then you visualize all that. And it is very important to imagine that they are there. And then also you can imagine that they are smiling at you. They are happy that you are doing this. So in Lamrim teachings, it says that actually there's, from our own, you know, what we normally do, there's no reason for Buddha to be really happy with us, because we really don't follow Buddha's advice. We all the time do the opposite. But this time, there is reason for Buddha to be happy, because we are trying to do something now. We are trying to do these practices to purify negativities and also to cultivate merits so that we can achieve enlightenment for the sake of sentient beings. So Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, your gurus, there is reason to be smiling at you, to be happy about what you are doing. So it is good for the auspicious reason. It is good to visualize that they are really happy and smiling at you. So once you have this, then we offer what is called the seven limb prayers. So I think we all do that in our prayers. So I won't go into much detail, because we need to finish this week, if not by next week. So we will try to finish as much as possible this time, and this today, and then I think the mandala part we will do next Sunday. And if you have mandala, bring here, and then we can just do kind of practice as well. I am trying to focus on this bit more, because you have noticed that we are going to do a retreat at the end of this semester, and I wanted to focus on these practices for 2 days, just to taste, to have a bit of taste of these practices. So the first is prostration. So we offer these practices by reciting prayers from the King of Prayers. So the first part, which is the seven limb prayers. So it begins with the prostration. So it's a you line among humans. So there are four stanzas, which is about prostrations. You are making homage to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and all those in your merit field. So the first stanza is making homage through three doors, like speech, by offering physical homage through speech and also through mind. So then goes on to say, what are these? So that when we make prostrations to Buddha, we visualize that, you know, the numberless of Buddhas in front of you, and then you also, what do you call, manifest into countless bodies. It is you, but you imagine there are multiple duplicates of you. So they all are making these prostrations to Buddha. So that is offering homage to Buddha through your body. And then when it comes to offering homage to Buddha through mind, that is mainly praising Buddha's wisdom or the Buddha's quality. Here it says that on every atom are Buddhas, numberless as atoms. Each emits a host of bodhisattvas, and I am confident the sphere of all phenomena is entirely filled with the Buddhas in this way. So normally when we talk about Buddha's quality, so one of the quality is that there is not a single atom where Buddha does not exist. Wherever Buddha's wisdom or mind reaches, there is a Buddha. So Buddha is omniscient mind. And as Buddha is omniscient, mind is omniscient, the Buddha is also omnipresent wherever. And then we are, not only Buddha is everywhere on each atom, and also Buddha having this, helping sentient beings, teaching, giving teachings and helping sentient beings, liberating sentient beings. In order to liberate sentient beings, Buddhas are engaged in these deeds. So these are the Buddha's qualities. So when we remember that, we are offering Buddha a homage through mind. And then through speech. So this is you imagine, again, you manifest, I don't know whether that's the right word or not, manifest your body. Does it make sense? You actually, you multiply, you imagine that, you know, there are thousands of yourself, and then, of course, each body has each mouth and all this. So you are singing praise to Buddha. So that's how you do. So normally, yeah, we read this. I read this all the time. And most of you also read. But do we rarely think this way. We rarely visualize. We rarely imagine. So there were times where, yes, I think it happens to all of us. When we do six yoga guru session, prayer, sometimes I'm in the middle of this. I was distracted. I was like, is this the third time? Or is this the fourth time? Or am I still in the first time? First round. So we are like that. So this is the time where, you know, when we do these prayers, we try to visualize. Then it becomes very powerful. Otherwise, it is just parroting. So that's how we should be doing. So in relation, in this context, so of course, when we do preliminary practices, people do a lot of prostrations. There is this common practice of doing 100 million, 100,000 actually, 100,000 prostrations. And many people go to Bodh Gaya and do all these prostrations. And many people, especially those who have gastric problems, it is very common in Tibetan community for some reason. We call it Pone Ponaza. But when you go to a Western doctor, they will say it's a gastric problem. They couldn't really pinpoint. But I think recently they said that, oh, it is because of this helicobacteria or something. It is through the water contaminated. They said that will solve the problem. So anyway, but Tibetans believe that is we call it lene, it's karmic sickness. Of course, everything is karmic sickness. But for this one, we name this label this as karmic sickness. And one of the antidote or the cure is to go and do 100,000 prostrations. And there are many people who are healed, who are cured after doing this. So this also shows, go on to show that these prostrations do help us purify our negativities. So there are different types of prostrations. So we don't need to go through that. I think we are all familiar, so I won't go into that. And I just wanted to show you this one.
These three ladies have been coming for the last 5 days, and they've got another 25 days or 35 days to get to the next monastery. And they just keep doing this. How amazing is this determination in life, and the determination of the amazing energy and the amazing courage and the amazing heart and the mind and the soul and the body. All this is to be reaching the highest level of peace in life, and then to go into the next world.
There's one.
Some of them made the journey like this.
And then also so this is very common. Yes, please.
Pardon me for interrupting, but I used to teach at a local college. There's a religious college.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty well known that I was a Buddhist. That was accepted. One day in the hallway, one of the religion teachers stopped me. And he said, I saw some video of some Tibetan people going down the road and bowing and going. And he said, what were they being punished for? I thought, wait, what's he talking about? Oh, no. And I had to say, they're not being punished at all. And he said, oh, that was so horrible. Why would they be punished?
Yeah. So why I showed all these three kinds, you can see that the area they do all these prostrations is very rough. Mm-hmm. And it's not just 5 minutes or 10 minutes. They're doing for days and days. And if you watch more of the last, that's a second piece, this lady will come to where she has to cross the stream. There's a stream passing by, and still, yeah, she was trying to do over that as well. So I was hoping that, you know, when we see this, we get inspired. If these people can do on that kind of surface, why can't we do in an air-conditioned home? This is very common practice in Tibet, and many people have this protrusion here.
Oh, yeah.
That it's all because of the prostrations. And many people, especially those who are going on pilgrimage to Lhasa from Kham, they will do that all the way to Lhasa for months and months. And it is not what you call the being stupid or being orthodox or that they really believe in this power. And it is true. First of all, prostration, sometimes we ask. Prostration is not unique in Buddhism. You have this prostration in every religion. I think it really helps to reduce our ego, our pride. In order to bow to somebody, you need to have a small ego. If you are arrogant, if you have a huge ego, it is very difficult to bow. Not to mention offering prostrations, really bowing so low. So this also helps to deal with our ego. Of course, ego is also one causes of our problems. Because of our ego, we all the time end up fighting and quarreling, because you cannot accept a person saying that you are not right. You are like, how could I be wrong? I am so and so and so. So this is where the ego is playing its role. So there are many benefits. So if you are able to do 100,000 times, very good. If not, at least it is good to do 3 prostrations daily. The best, of course, if you can do 1 set in the morning and another set in the before going to bed. So that serve as an antidote to whatever negative actions that you have committed that day. Normally when we do purification, we try not to let the action pass 12 hours. So if you do 1 in the morning, 1 in the evening, before going to bed, then yeah, whatever you have done in that day, you have done that. You have done the antidote, you have applied the antidote. And then if you do in the morning, whatever you have done during between that time, you are countering those negative actions. So it is good to do in the morning. So even though you all know, but I just want to emphasize that, you know, first of all, it is not like this. When you make your palms, put your palms, it is not like this. This we call non-Buddhist gesture. You need to bring this in and make it look like what we call jewel, wish-fulfilling jewel. And then with that, you go first on your crown. So there are 2 practice. One, only you touch 3 points, other you touch 4 points. So if you go by touching 4 on the 4 points, so first is your crown, and then your forehead here. This is where what we call this coiled hair, Buddha's, one of the Buddha's quality. Here, and then here, and then here, heart. So if you do 3, so this represents body, or some say this represents creating the auspiciousness to achieve Buddha's unisha. It's called that protruding, yeah, Buddha's, we call tsuktur. And then, of course, it's body, speech, and mind. So what we need to visualize or think is that when we do this, we have to kind of pray that, you know, whatever the negativities that I have committed through body be purified. And then when you put your hands or palms to your throat, then you say, whatever negativities that I have created through speech, may all that be purified. And then here, same, whatever negative karma that I have created through mind, be purified. You do that 1 time. And then at the same time, when you do this, may I receive all the Buddha's body, qualities of Buddha's, what do you call, how to put it, Buddha's blessings of kukichilap, blessings of Buddha's body, or to achieve the qualities of Buddha's body, and then to achieve qualities of Buddha's speech, to achieve qualities of Buddha's mind or wisdom. So that's how we do that. Then it becomes good practice. And when you go down, it is always advised that
try not to stay there too long. It kind of inauspicious if you stay too long, because it says that it creates what you call kind of imprint to be born in lower realms. So you just go down, come up fast. So that's the practice. So that's prostration. And then, what do you see here? Offerings, is it? Okay, good. This, yes, please.
If you can't go down physically because you can't get up?
Yeah.
How, if you just visualize?
Yes, you visualize and you can just do all this and you can just kind of bow.
Okay, so you should do your...
Yes,
your
yes, that one because you can do it, yeah. Okay. Because it each has its specific visualization or prayers. So you remember these prayers, and then instead of going down, you can just do a gesture. Mm. So the bodily, physical prostrations, there are many types. Even, you know, with gesture, making your hands together is also a physical prostrations, because it is all about showing respect. Mm. And then offering. Remember we talked about how motivation is so important. How all these worldly concerns, if you have these motivated by worldly concerns, then you may not really achieve much merit. But here, one different thing is, when it comes to offering, especially when you have generated the merit field. So even if your motivation is not so pure, it said that you will still benefit. You will still accumulate the merit. It is because, it says, because of the power of the merit field. So you can see that even your motivation is not correct. Many of the practices, we say that, oh, you need to have the right motivation and all this, and you must, all this must be present. But here, when it comes to making offerings, it says that as long as you make offerings, because of the power of the merit field, you will accumulate a lot of merits. So why not grab that opportunity when we have difficulty having a perfect motivation? So, of course, offerings, there are all kinds of offerings. You can offer water bowls, which we have already discussed before. And then you can offer light. That we say that offering light represents eliminating ignorance and illuminating the wisdom, illuminating our darkness of the ignorance. So when you offer light, you can visualize that may this illuminate the darkness caused by ignorance. May all this become a cause for all sentient beings to gain wisdom, perfect wisdom. So here we have the, it says, sweet music, scented oils, parasols, sparkling lights, and sublime incense, I offer to you, victorious ones, fine dress, fragrant perfumes, sandalwood powder heaped high as Mount Meru, all wondrous offerings in spectacular array, I offer to you, victorious ones. So these are what we call the conventional offerings. And then we have something called, shall I say, mundane offerings. Then we have something called supramundane offerings. So supramundane offering, normally we say that it is actually doing practice. It is putting into practice what Buddha taught. So that is the best offering. So the best offering you can offer to Buddha or to even to your guru is if you heed their advice, if you follow their advice and put effort in practicing, that would be the best thing. Because all this offering, is to make Buddha happy. Whoever your whoever you are offering to, it is to make them happy, to please them. So what would please them most is if you do something worthwhile, some Dharma practice, if you really practice what they have suggested. So that would really please them. So that's what you call super mundane offerings. So you can, but of course, you cannot be just contented at all, you know. I just want to practice and that's all I want to offer. I don't want to engage in these mundane offerings. That's also wrong. If you can afford, if you can do it, why not do it? So you can offer flowers, you can offer incense, you can offer lights, you can offer perfume, all kinds of. And then you see out there a nice flower, you can just pluck and offer all that. And of course, we say that offering flowers, next life, you will be very bone attractive.
Last night we were talking about in the Natatara Yoga teaching from Roger Jackson.
He
mentioned the results from the merit field.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that it, at least from his what he said, it encourages, it ripens, and it produces enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. It produces.
Yes. Be the Namakaya. I mean, we were talking about the Kayas.
Yeah, of course, all this goes towards getting there. And next one is the confession. Okay, let's first have our tea and then we will continue. Vajrasattva practices. The visualization is that you visualize Vajrasattva in front, Vajra position. Anyway, I won't go into detail because you know what Vajrasattva looks like. So when it comes to the recitation, so here you see on the moon disc at Vajrasattva's heart stands a hum. This is the hum. And then around that, encircled by a garland of the Bodhisattva, the Vajrasattva's mantra, what is called the 100-syllable mantra, Om Vajrasattva. And a powerful stream of white nectar. So when you recite the mantra, what happens is a powerful stream of white nectar flows from the hum and the mandra garland, and then it enters into you through your crown, and then cleanse all the negative karmas, as well as obscurations and the results of the negative karma. So that's how you do the visualization. And now the other limb of the seventh prayer is rejoicing. We hear all the time that, oh, to be a Buddhist, it's not an easy, let's put it this way, it's not easy to be a Buddhist because there is always, you become responsible for your deeds. You are accountable for all that actions. If anything undesirable happens, it comes back to say that it's your fault. And there is always emphasis that, you know, you have to work hard, you have to put effort, you won't gain anything, you know, without hard work. We hear that all the time. But there is one thing that doesn't require effort. One thing that we can do while lying on our bed. We don't need to put any effort. That is rejoicing. It says, in the prayer, it says, I rejoice in all the merit, whatever it may be, of all the Buddhas of the Ten Directions, Bodhisattvas, Pratika Buddhas, those with more to learn, those with no more to learn, and all ordinary beings. Here we are rejoicing the merits accumulated by all beings. So in Lama Tsongkhapa, in his one of his prayers, he says that Beba chungu labjin so duba kela yirang kela jesu yirang chodo songs is with little effort that can amass lot of merit is rejoicing others' merit, rejoicing in merits. So this one is very good, especially for people like me who doesn't like to put effort. Just lie in bed and then just think of all this and oh, it's so great, oh, it's very good. Just rejoice, rejoice. And what will happen is, if the person who is at the same level of the realization, if it's the person's level of realization is same to you, then you will achieve the same amount of merit. That's so good. You don't have to spend, let's say if somebody spends thousands of dollars and did a big offering, and here you just sit here and quietly rejoice, you also accumulate the same amount of merit without spending $1 million. How wonderful that is. But let's say if the person is higher than you, their realization is higher and higher than you, then it says that you will at least acquire half of the merit of that person. Not bad, isn't it? So I thought this is such a wonderful thing. But how often we do that? We have this tendency, remember we talked about. I mean, many people have this tendency that when you see others, we always have this, say that to your same, if you are your colleagues and all this, you tend to have this competition. And then somebody is doing better, you have this jealousy and all that. And then if somebody is below you, of course, you berate and all that, look down on the person. But many times we fail to rejoice in others' merit. So there are two ways to rejoice. So the first one is rejoicing over one's own virtue. So imagine we have now achieved this human rebirth. We must have something good in the past. We must have accumulated good merits. That's why we have this precious human rebirth. And then not only that, we met Buddha Dhamma. According to Buddhism, it is very difficult, unless you have a really strong merit, one won't be able to meet Buddha Dhamma. And then you have facilities, external facilities, you can afford to come for classes. That's also a result of your merit. So all this, I have done good merit. So just rejoicing your own merit is also a way of multiplying your merits. It is not, about, inflating your ego. So you should not use this, I'm so great, I have done so much practices. Not that, but just to say, it's great that, I have done, I must have accumulate a lot of merits. And even when you, like, after this class, you say, oh, I'm so happy, you know, I have spent 2 hours doing some Dharma practice, something meaningful. That is rejoicing. So what will happen is, when you rejoice your own merit, it will encourage you to do more. That is the main purpose, not to, you know, make your ego or pride inflate.
You know, if we do the I like to do that, if we do the white pebbles and the dark pebbles, it really, you can see it, and that's a chance to see what you've done, and then you can have this just a good feeling.
Yes. So another way is, yeah, whether you use the pebble or not, at least, you know, before going to bed, you reflect the day. And if you find that you have done something virtue or virtuous, you rejoice. That will, you know, increase your merit. And then, of course, another way is rejoice over the virtue of others. Or that person has done a 3 years retreat. Oh, that's so great. May I be able to do so? So there's this story of I don't remember exactly the name of the Indian king. So during Buddha's time, he was the main benefactor. He was able to make offerings to Buddhas and Buddha and Buddha's followers. But that the seed was planted when he was a woodcutter. At that time, it was a different Buddha's time, but he was born as a woodcutter. He didn't have much money. He is barely surviving. But when he saw that other rich people inviting Buddha and Buddha's followers for a feast and making all that, and he rejoiced in this merit and make prayers that, may I be able to do such in the future. So normal practice is, you know, when you invite sanghas to your place and offer meals, so at the end they will do dedication. So Buddha started to dedicate that woodcutter's merit. And people like, he is not, you know, today's sponsor is this person. He said, no, actually the one who really did virtue or merit is that woodcutter. He rejoiced in that, whereas obviously that whoever invited the Buddha and the disciples, I think maybe the motivation is not right. So Buddha said that the actual person who created virtue was that person. And after many lives later, when Shakyamuni Buddha came to the world, he was born as one of the wealthy kings, and he was able to offer and make a lot of offerings to Buddha and Buddha's followers. So you see, just rejoicing that, you can accumulate a huge amount of merit. So that's about merit. And then requesting the wheel of Dharma to be turned. So it says, I implore all the protectors, lights of the world in the 10 directions, who have reached Buddhahood, which is without attachment, to turn the peerless wheel of the teachings. So we talked about that day, the turning the wheel of Dharma. So Buddha achieved enlightenment, but he didn't teach for 49 days until Buddha was requested by devas. So it is always good to create this karmic connections to meet Dharma and to receive Dharma by making these requests to teach. And then we have a supplication not to enter Nirvana. So Buddhas, they have freedom over death. They can choose when to die or when, you know, how long to live. So Ananda, when Buddha passed away, Ananda was punished for his 8 faults. One of the faults was not making this request. Buddha, hinted several times that Buddha will live if you make a request. But he was so, influenced by Maharas that he couldn't see things clearly. He couldn't get that meaning. So he didn't, because he was the attendant to Buddha, so he didn't make that request. So he was later banished from the Sangha community, and he had to do meditation for, I think, years. Mm. So we have to make requests. That's why we have long life pujas for lamas. When lama is not well, all this, we make this special request for lama to live long. And many lamas, it is, of course, there are so many things. It's interdependence. Many things come together for this. So when students make the request with sincere heart, and then Lama also sees the reason to live long, and because of all this coming together, causes and condition, somehow Lama can be able to live longer. So that's why there's every year, I think there are so many long life pujas or requests offered to His Holiness. And we have heard that His Holiness made the promise that at least he will live for 100 years. Mm. So the text says, I supplicate with palms joined in prayer those wishing to demonstrate their final nirvana. Please stay as many eons as there are atoms to benefit and bring happiness to all beings. So this is very important. In monastery, one time, my teacher and also a former Ganden, is the 100th Ganden throne holder. So he served his term for 7 years, and then he retired from that post, but he was still alive. Normally, when you finish your Ganden, Tiba term, you are already very old because you have to wait so long to get there. But Rinpoche was healthy and lived. But then, towards the end, a few years later, Rinpoche was sick. And I have this Lama friend who frequently visits Rinpoche, and he says that he always tells Rinpoche, when Rinpoche asks, oh, how are things, what is the news, he said that he always tells Rinpoche really good news, you know, his things are going so well, everything is all there. He says it's very important, because when you inform Rinpoche of all this, you know, the bad news, things not going well, you know, they say, oh, monks are not doing well, this and this happening, then they will kind of, oh, now no point, you see, no point living, because there's nothing I can do, I better, you know, go somewhere else where I can be of more health, more benefit. So that's why it's very important to make these requests, and then, they can choose to live longer. Mm. And then finally, dedication. Whatever little merit I have accumulated by prostrating, offering, confessing, rejoicing, requesting, and supplication, I dedicate it all to enlightenment. So dedication is very important. We always say, there are two important deeds, one in the beginning, one at the end. One in the beginning is the motivation, setting up a proper motivation. And the end is the dedication. So what happens is, if we don't dedicate our merits, it gets destroyed. You know, we are prone to anger. When we get anger, it destroys our merits. So that's why when Buddha explained how powerful this prostration is, how meritorious that is. Then one of the disciples asked, if that is so meritorious, how come people are still lingering in samsara? Why couldn't they achieve enlightenment? I said, yes, even though this practice is so powerful and all that, but people, first of all, don't do dedication, and they all the time get angry, and anger destroys the merits. So it's like one instant of anger, it says, it destroys the merits that you have accumulated for eons. Imagine that. You have worked so hard, saved, and then in one instance, all gone. But what happened is, if you dedicate your merits, then anger cannot destroy. So the analogy is that if you pour a drop of water in the ocean, that drop of water will mix in the ocean water and it will remain there until the ocean dries up. Whereas if you pour that on the dry surface outside, it will instantly dry. So likewise, any merit that we dedicated towards achieving enlightenment will remain until we achieve enlightenment. So you see the importance of dedicating our merits. So there are many ways to do dedication. If you know how to do, it's very good. If not, there's always this prayer. Whatever the three Buddhas considered the best way to dedicate, may I dedicate my merits like that. And also like whatever Samindabhadra dedicated, the way Samindabhadra dedicated the merits, I will also dedicate. And if you don't know, even though it's just to say that whatever merit I have cultivated or accumulated, may that become a cause to achieve enlightenment. That's good. So you have dedicated your merit to become a cause to achieve enlightenment. That's good enough. You do that. That's about it. So that concludes this generating the visual fields, generating the merit field, and then offering the seven limb prayers. And the next one is offering mandala and then making this special request, which we will do next Sunday. Any questions? If not, we will do our prayers. Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the sense that, in the opposite, when you're creating virtue, would that construct an infinite amount of merit in the opposite? Instead of destroying it, you know, actually create it?
No. You first accumulate merit. And then, so let's say you attended teaching today, and from there with your motivation, with correct motivation, you could have accumulated a good merit. And then after you go in there and then somebody says something nasty and you burst into anger, so it says that it's gone.
It's gone, right?
Yeah, if you have not dedicated that merit.
Right. Mm. I was just wondering if you turn the analogy around and you said one moment of positive virtue continues the inseparability of form and space, for instance, like you were saying that there remains, it can remain, meaning like the two kayas remaining, you know, as form and space, as an analogy. Just if you say that one moment of anger destroy an eon of merit, then could you also say the opposite, you know, could also say the opposite of one moment of virtue could create an infinite amount of virtue that would remain.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Just a question.
That one I don't know. But in the text it says that, yeah, if you have this, get angry, that instant, one instant of anger can destroy.
But you can mitigate it with, you know, with the opponent powers and so, you know, you mitigate it. It doesn't mean you erase it, but you can lessen it.
Yeah, of course, the purification, all this is talking about the negative actions. You will mitigate the result of the negative actions.
Right.
You will be able to eradicate those negative actions. But it's the other way around. We are talking about negative actions destroying our merit.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah. Okay, let's do the dedication. Sashi Pushi Redway. Sashi Pushi Sashi Sayo.
Short mandala.
Oh.
Let's do the short mandala offering first. Sashi Pushi.
Joje Medo Dama Rera Linje Nyende Gemba De Sanje Shendo Mede Bhuayi. Dogu namda shen la jubara sho. Shibai, melam ke mendwe, di chudra kardo. Sashi peshi chule ke mendwe. Jizun lama dhamma ke namji.
Jizun lama dhamma ke namji. Jizun lama dhamma ke namji. Jizun lama dhamma ke namji.
Jizun lama dhamma ke namji. Jizun lama dhamma ke That's not the one. Java Abdusus. Oh, the red mare. That's the good. Idang Guru Rana Mendala Ganaya Dayamis.
Concluding to you.
Rinpoche maje banama je juroche keba nyamba meba yang. Kone kondo pe warasho. Rabden je namgara tenle chuju jeva dang. Losan tenbe treme sasumanji. Drove meze tado ne juroche. Rave korve shenga mazo. Pendant de wa malu jume ne chere se wan tenzin yazo. Jabe zide baldo tenjuro je. Jedara jemba ta kundo sambo teyan de jendo. Deda gwenje jezo dalo je. Gewa deda tamje rabdo mo. Shigbe gyawa tamze ji ngowa kala chodo ngaba de Tage gewe zawa de gwen jang sambo chuje rab ngowa rai ji